our second week in our new series called Believe. And I believe that this place is a place where anything happens. We even sang a song. And I also believe that as you get this in your heart, your life will be a place where anything happens. Anybody believe that? Okay, well, let me tell you why I believe that. In the Bible, in Luke chapter, now let's do Mark chapter 9. You can just open up there. Mark chapter 9, there's this man, he's actually a father, and he's desperate. Anybody ever been desperate and you're a parent, a father? Shoo, I've had some desperate days. And he's really desperate, and he has a son who's got a big problem. And he goes to all these people for help. He even goes to Jesus' disciples, and they can't help him. You're sitting there thinking, bad, it's getting bad, it's getting bad. And then what he does is he goes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, Jesus, if you can, would you help me? Jesus, if you can, would you help me? And that's over in Mark chapter 9. If you want to look at it, they'll pop it up on the screen. Verse 23, Mark 9, 23. And this is Jesus' response. Now listen, put yourself there. Just don't kind of read things. Put yourself there, and Jesus is going to talk to you right now. Listen to his response. What do you mean, if I can? That Jesus asked. And he says, anything is possible. Anything is possible if a person believes. Two letters, kind of make it or break it, if. All right, let's say it again. Anything is possible if a person believes. Now, the first part, Jesus is going, are you kidding me? I'm the Son of God. I created the universe. I was there. Okay, that's kind of his first part. All righty? And the second part, he's going, so duh, of course. Of course, Jesus is so nice, he never starts the sentence with duh. Okay? The second part, he's saying, this is what we have to do to connect to God so anything's possible. That's just the second part of the statement. This is what we have to do to connect to God so anything's possible. All righty? So today we're going to talk about believing. And Jesus said, anything's possible if you believe. Write that down. That needs to be your t-shirt for the whole month. Anything's possible if you believe. All right. So today this is part two. So today we're going to talk about the power of our words, Okay. And it's really interesting when you talk about the power of our words, it has to do with believing and believing the words that come out of your mouth. Believing the words that come out of your mouth are really important. Now, some of you just are flapping at the gums. But today, I'm telling you, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to go, whoa, the words that come out of my mouth are really important. So this is the big idea. This is the main thought I want you to understand clearer than you ever did when you walk out of here. It's like it's going to be tattooed on your arm. And you know what I think of tattoos. So this is the one time you get one. All right? Ready? Now, the interesting thing about this is, a whole bunch of you have heard this, okay? And I'm believing that this will open your eyes further. I'm believing that it'll open your eyes further, okay? And I'm believing that you're going to start chatting up some things that are in the Bible that you need to be chatting up, okay? So others of you, this may be the first time you've heard this, and I believe you're going to walk out of there and come up to me and say, Pastor D, oh my goodness, that changed my life. Okay, so ready? This is the big statement. This is the big idea. Write it down. Your words shape your world. Your words shape your world. Okay, by the way, this is what the Bible teaches. Your words literally shape your word. And it's not just any words. They're words that you say and words that you believe. Those are the words that will shape and change your life. Words that you say, words that you believe. Words that you believe, words that you say. Okay? Now, you know, you're probably all saying stuff. You're saying stuff and you're not even aware that your words are shaping your world. You could be saying negative things. You could be saying positive things. You could be saying Bible truths. You could be saying a whole bunch of untruths. But your words are shaping your world. Everybody say that. My words are shaping my world. Okay, so if you're taking notes, could you write this down? What you believe is what you're saying. What you believe is what you're saying. So this is your assignment. I'm going to say this three different times through the message. This is what I want you to do for homework this week. Homework this week. And if you can even have your spouse help you out, all right? This is what I want you to do. I want you to stop throughout your week and examine the words that are coming out of your mouth. Okay, now if you're a spouse, you're not allowed to punch them and say, that was stupid that came out of your mouth, all right? Just give them the elbow, all righty? Okay, because what you believe is going to be coming out of your mouth. What you believe is going to be coming out of your mouth. So look over here. They're going to pop up the scripture here. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Now, some of you know this, and you can do it with your eyes closed. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But I'm going to throw a different translation up here, and it's just going to put a whole big light on it. So look at this translation. This is a Good News translation, and it says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Did you see that? The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So listen, the heart is full. Okay, whatever your heart's full of is what you believe, and what you believe is what you speak, and what you speak is shaping your world. Whatever's in your heart, number one. Number two is what you believe. And what you believe is what you speak, and what you speak is shaping your world. Okay, now on a happy note. How many of you like bacon? I love bacon. Okay? I actually hate to cook it. And this is what, and I only cook it when company comes, when my gang comes over, it's just special occasions. Because I always say this, you'll be company at my house, you're spending the night, you get up the next morning, I'm going to make bacon. And I will say to you, Kathy and Frank, I always burn the bacon. And then I'll give you some excuse, and then I'll start cooking, and I'll say to you, I always burn the bacon. And then I'll start talking to you, and I'll tell you, hey, set the table. And then I'll say to you, I always burn the bacon. And guess what? I always burn the bacon. Flat out. So I am a little bit smarter, and I will say, hey, guest, Kathy, can you cook the bacon? I just gave up on that. All right. Now listen, okay, funny story, but a lot of truth. What's in your heart is what you believe. What you believe is what you'll speak, and what you speak shapes your life. Now, that's just a silly little example, but it happens in life, in our life, with our words, okay? So it's really important to know whatever you've got in here, whatever you've got in here is what's going to be coming out of your mouth. It's going to be coming out of your mouth. So when someone says, oh, I didn't mean to say that, liar, liar, pants on fire, because it was in here big and it came shooting out of your mouth. Hopefully you said you're sorry afterwards, right? Have you ever been to when someone says, oh, I didn't mean to say that? Baloney, right? Okay, be nice to them, be nice to them. Because whatever's in here is coming out of your mouth. Now listen, guys, God operated that way. How many of you know that? God operated that way. And then Jesus taught us that we need to operate the same way. We're supposed to be doing the same thing. Okay, now listen, I'm not God, you're not God, but we can operate the same way God does. And we're supposed to. So pop up Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, would you please? Thank you. Olivia's in the sound booth. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. I love when I got my kids up there. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Listen to what the Bible says. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was invisible. In other words, God created the world by his command. All right? That word command is translated in the Greek to the word rhema. Anybody know that? Rhema is the spoken word. So God spoke with authority and he commanded and his word went forth. And guess what he created? Poof! He created the universe. All right. Amen. He did. Anybody ever read Genesis chapter 1? Right? Are you ready? God said it. Let there be light. Poof. God said, let there be stars. Poof. God said, let there be sun and moon and poof, okay? God commanded with his word. He spoke his word. He spoke his word, and the universe was formed. Amen? Now, let me do a little Bible 101 just to get you all on the same page. God is an unseen God, right? Okay, and he actually lives in the unseen realm. We live in the natural realm, okay? So we don't see that spirit realm. We don't see God. But listen, the unseen realm created the natural realm, right? Anybody agreeing with me? The unseen God created, okay, if you teach down in the preschool, oh my gosh, I had this song stuck in my head. God made the world and everything in it. God made the world and everything in it. Your kids in preschool know that, and I would sing that in my head. But that's exactly what happened. God spoke, and he created everything in it. Amen? Okay. Praise God. All righty. So listen, God spoke, and the world came into existence. That's all that scripture's gone over here. Now, here's something really cool. I read this maybe 2 years ago. Don't ask me why I was reading this magazine, but anyway, I read this in a magazine, and it talks about the greatest minds of our world, scientists. They're called physicists, and listen to what they've come up with. You ready? Now, I got to read it so I don't muff it up here. They've now proven that the universe began with a microscopic speck. These guys, these brilliant guys, have decided that they figured out that the world was formed with a microscopic speck. All right, and now this is what it says. I don't know how they figured it out, but they were able to look back to the beginning. I don't know how they did that. And there's a point in time where there's this microscopic speck, which you can't see. And what happened is the entire universe, poof, came. And I wanted to go, you guys are brilliant. I know that. I read that 40 years ago in Genesis chapter 1, right? But this is what the scientists have discovered my foot. Okay, well, this is what they've discovered. There's a microscopic speck and poof, the universe. All right. So now listen, I believe that by faith. You believe that by faith. But listen, the Bible doesn't prove things by science. I can just see God going, well, I got to get the scientists to figure this out because then it won't be real. No, 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 no. I believe it. It was written. We believe it, right? It's written. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, but it is just so cool when these brilliant men and women start figuring out the Bible. It just makes me laugh. Praise the Lord. So God created everything we see from nothing. That's how God operates. If you're taking notes, write this down. Our words cannot create worlds. But, ready? They can shape ours. Our words can't create. I'd love to be out creating universes. That would be so cool. Wouldn't that be fun? You want to come on over to my house. We're going to go create a world. Okay, but we can't do that. But our words can shape our world. The things in our life. Our words, all righty? So I'm going to give you a scripture. Jesus is going to talk about this subject, about our words shaping our world. And again, If you've been around the block for quite a few years, you probably all know this, but I want to give you fresh eyes when I give you this scripture, because this verse will change your landscape of your life. This verse will change the landscape of your life. Praise God. About 7 years ago, I decided to change the landscape in my front yard. It looks gorgeous now, but it was looking pretty sorry back then. And I had to dig out. And here's my favorite story. I called Jim up and I said, I want Jeep in. And he goes, what are you talking? I said, I put a chain at the back of my Jeep and I wrapped it around this big old bush and put it in four. So that's the extent of my Jeeping. But I was about to change the landscape of my yard. But I want to tell you, this scripture will change the landscape of your life if you will read it with fresh eyes. For those of you that have been around the block for a while, the rest of you are going to go, awesome! Okay, so turn over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'm going to give you the background here. Jesus is going into the city of Bethany. He is hungry. He's hungry and he sees this fig tree, and the fig tree's got leaves all over it. So he walks up to the fig tree and there's no figs on the tree. Now the Bible teaches us that that was the season where they weren't going to grow figs. It wasn't the time of figs, your Bible will say. It wasn't the season. Alrighty? But Jesus looks at that fig tree that's full of leaves, that doesn't have any figs on it, and he says something that's going to change the landscape. You ready? What does he say? He says, no man will eat fruit of this tree ever again. Anybody ever read that before? No man's going to eat fruit on you ever again. Now, interesting, he's hanging out with his boys, he's hanging out with the disciples, and they hear him say that. They hear him say to that tree, you're not going to have fruit anymore. All righty? So they finish, they go into Bethany, they do their business in Bethany, and then they leave Bethany and they go to sleep, and then they come back to Bethany the next day, and they're walking by that tree, and Peter is the first one that looks at it and says, Peter the big mouth, I love it. He goes, ah! Jesus, Jesus, look, the tree that you spoke to has withered from the roots, right? Everybody know that story? All right? Like, Jesus, Jesus. Okay. The tree that you spoke to has withered at the roots. And then he's like, whoa, basically saying what you said has happened, right? What you said has happened. If you're taking notes, you ought to write that one down. What you say has happened. What you said has happened. Praise God. So the next thing that happens, Jesus goes, ta-da, teaching moment. He decides he's going to have a teaching moment. No, he doesn't, but, you know, it sounds good. So Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 23. Praise the Lord. Here we go. We're going to read this. This is Jesus saying, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain. By the way, where they were mountains around them. There were mountains around them. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have not doubt in your heart. Praise God. So here's what he's saying. If you don't believe the words that you speak, nothing's going to happen, right? If you don't believe words that you speak, nothing will happen. But if you believe the words that you speak, some mountains are going to go moving. So key word, believe. If you believe, then you're going to move some mountains. You're going to change some landscaping. Praise God. Now, just so you understand, this mountain business here really is a metaphor. It's not literal, like the mountain move, literally. It's a metaphor. But let me tell you about mountains back then, back in Bible days. They looked at them a whole lot different than we do. They looked at them like they are immovable. Because, you know, nowadays, you can just dig a hole through a mountain, right? How many of you have done the turnpike to Pittsburgh? Was it three tunnels? Three tunnels. What'd they do? dig out a mountain so they can get, so you can get through. Oh, or better yet, nowadays they just blow up the mountain, put it in a truck, and cast those things into the sea. Right? Okay. Now, but in Bible days, when Jesus was writing this, the mountain was immovable. The mountain was immovable. Everybody say immovable. All righty. So again, this is just a metaphor. And really what Jesus is saying to you is, you take anything in your life that's immovable. Anybody have a couple of those things going on in your life? Yep, couple, just two of you. Gee, the rest of you, I want to go live with you. Okay, you take anything that's immovable in your life and you start saying what God says, declares about it. You start saying and you believe what you say, Jesus is saying, it'll move, right? It'll move. Now, but again, listen to this. In Bible days, if you wanted to go from point A to point B over the mountain, you either had to go over the mountain or around the mountain, right? That's what they had to do. But listen, that mountain that you had either had to go around or over top was immovable. Guys, it's immovable and it's impacting their life. How many of you have some mountains that are impacting your life? Okay, write them down. We're going to talk to them. I'm not even going to look at you. Just real quiet. So what are the mountains that are impacting your life? Praise the Lord. So Jesus says, hey, listen, your words can reshape your world. Your words can reshape your world, okay? Now, again, he's talking about your words can reshape your world. Your words can get rid of your mountain. Your words can get rid of your mountain. Anybody got mountains? So what's going to make a move? Your words. Praise God. All righty. Now, praise the Lord. I lost it. Now, here's something. Everybody smile. Say, I love you, Pastor D. Okay. Okay, put your seatbelt on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here. There are some mountains in our life that we are putting there by ourselves. There are some mountains in our life that we put in our own life. We build the mountain in our life because of what we say, right? Because of what we say, we're not, and because, better yet, we're not believing the right thing. We're not believing the right thing, all right? And then we're saying it, and we're believing it, and guess what you just did? Mountain! You just made a mountain. Praise the Lord. No, that's not praise the Lord. Open up to Romans chapter 12. Don't praise the Lord on that one. Sorry about that. Romans 12, sorry. This is why Romans 12 is written here. Romans 12:2. Praise the Lord. I don't want to build mountains. I want to blow them up. Amen. New t-shirt for the week. All righty. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Okay, the word conform means to be pressed, molded into the world. The way the world talks, the way the world thinks, the way the world does life. Okay, so it's saying, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, most of you have heard this already. Transform, it's where we go to get our word metamorphosis. So you start out with a caterpillar and you end up with a? You start out with a tadpole and you end up with a? Can we sing the song? Bullfrogs and butterflies, both been born again. Okay. Then I know how old you are if you know that. Praise the Lord. Okay. So here's what God's saying, though. Okay, so do not be conformed to the world, but this is your answer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind. So God's saying, you spend time in my word. You spend time with my promises. You spend time with the things that I declare. You spend time reading them. You spend time meditating on them. You think about them. You even confess them to yourself. The whole world doesn't have to hear you confess them, by the way. You start confessing them, all right? And then he says, you will begin to see change in your life. You will see life differently. You'll think differently, and then you're going to talk differently. So just saying to your spouse, that was the stupidest thing you said all the time. That's dumb. No. Stop saying that to your spouse. Because, you know, we don't ever say it about ourselves. Stop doing that. And what happens is you've got to spend time in the Word of God. Okay, we got hundreds of little mini books in our bookstore that'll find your promises for you. Just name the topic, subject, and we'll find it for you back there. But you got to spend time there. You've got to read it. You got to think about it. You got to meditate it. And you got to say it. Because that will transform what's coming out of your mouth. And what's coming out of your mouth then will transform your landscape. Praise the Lord. Woo! Preach myself happy. All righty. So Jesus is saying what we believe changes things. Amen. What we believe changes things. Now, just a few decades ago, not even going to tell you how many ago, the first time I started hearing about Mark 11, 23, 24, I thought, whoa, Mark 11, 23, 24, awesome. I'm just going to read it and speak it, and I'm going to read it and speak it, and I'm going to read it and speak it. And you know, I was just getting nowhere and frustrated. Because things weren't working, all right? And then I thought, well, then I had an aha moment, all right? I had a moment where I said, oh, wait a minute. I have to change how I think. I have to change how I think. And the way I'm going to change how I think is like, oh, yeah, let's get into these scriptures. Let's stay in them. Let's chew on them. Let's meditate on them and make it my belief system. Everybody say belief system. Okay. So that when things come at my life, I will just start speaking what God says. It's sort of like, everybody know what a default button is? Just automatically goes there on my computer. It just automatically goes there. So if you are doing what Jesus just said, you have the Word, His promises, and you're just staying on them. You're staying on them. They're in you. They're coming out. When something happens, they will come out of you. And that is what makes things change in your landscape. Amen? Praise God. Woo, woo, woo. Praise the Lord. And listen, things will change, things will shift, and that's what God wants for all of us. God wants to do this in your life. Not just my life, He wants to do it in your life. Praise the Lord. So I call this the greatest landscaping scripture you'll ever get. Mark 11, 23. It is a landscaping scripture, okay? And it's talking about reshaping, you reshaping the landscape, the things in your life. Praise God. And Jesus tells us how it's done. He tells us how it's done. How's it done? By your words. How's it done? By your words. Now listen, I pray for you all the time. And I'm saying landscaping scriptures over you. But listen, guys, it's really you. You have a whole part to play in this. I have a great part. Praise the Lord. But you have a great part to play. You have to have these coming out of your mouth in order for things in your life to change. Praise God. Amen. So, homework. Check up on the words that are coming out of your mouth. Okay, now if you see things coming out of your mouth that you don't like, or better yet, if you're agreeing with all the problems in your life, oh man, this is the stupidest thing that ever, the stupidest computer, the stupidest car. Anybody ever do that? Dumb computer. Those are negative things, all right? So if you start hearing yourself saying those things, guess what you need to do? You have to get yourself and in the Word of God and find out what God says. Find out what God says about whatever's going on in your life. And then get it here so it gets here. And then if it gets here, it'll be on the default mode. And then, bam, it'll come out of your mouth. And because what's in your heart is what you believe. And what you believe is what you speak. And what you speak will change your landscaping for positive or negative. Woohoo! Good preaching, Pastor D. All right. Praise God. Here's a cool story. Turn over to 1 Samuel, Samuel 17, I'm going to give you the background fast forward. Gee whiz, I can do it. Fast forward version. Here we go. There's this kid in the Bible. He's 16 years old. Later on, he becomes king of Egypt. No, not Egypt, Israel. Sorry about that. Later on, he becomes king of Israel, all right? But the 16-year-old kid is about to reshape the landscape of Israel. because of what he believed, all right? Not because he had all the power in the world, that he was so strong or anything like that. So how many of you know the story of David and Goliath? Okay, this is where, if you know this, you have to work extra hard to keep tuned in. Because what we want to do is, I already know that. Okay, so stay tuned in. Stay with me, guys. Stay with me, all right? Because this is a landscape story that changes Israel, all righty? And it'll change your life. That's why I picked the story. Okay, do we have a picture up here? Did you find one? You know, I one of these days, praise the Lord, I'm going to come in ahead of time. I was going to say, I always come in late, but, you know, I'm watching my words here. Okay, here's a picture. And obviously, they didn't have their cell phones and take a picture. They had to do a painting, right? So we're going to talk about this. You can leave it up for a little bit. Thank you, Olivia. Thanks for working with me my last minute. Ta-da. All righty. So what you need to know is about this big guy behind me. This big guy is Goliath. He is 9 feet tall. A couple years ago, I met somebody who was 7 feet tall, and I did one of these. Okay? But this guy's 9 feet tall. All right? That's a big boy, right? Anybody know anybody 9 feet tall? You're not. They're a giant. And we can talk about giants later in more detail. But anyway, this guy, Goliath, who's 9 feet tall, had armor. They wore armor, okay? And it weighed over 200 pounds. Just to get dressed was 200 pounds. Man, my knees would be hurting, right? Okay. And he had a javelin. Okay, that's a spear. And on top of the spear is a spearhead. Duh, Pastor D. Okay. And that spearhead, it says, weighed 25 pounds. Now, I'm working on getting back in shape, and I'm up to, like, 3 pounds. My goal by the end of the year is 5 pounds. Okay, I'm working on it. How many of you would be able today, in your prime, pick up 25 pounds? Yes, you guys are so awesome. Just made my story hard to tell. Okay, you got 25 pounds on the top of that spearhead, and this guy's chucking it like it's spaghetti noodles. Okay, just a piece of cake, all righty? So, this is a big, bad boy, right? Okay? And he's in the Philistine army, the enemy. And the Philistines are the enemy, and the Philistine armies are attacking Israel, okay? And Israel's on one side of this hill, and on the other side's the Philistines, and down in the bottom's this valley. This valley, you know, we talked about valleys a couple of weeks ago, right? This valley is called Elha. All right. So Goliath comes into that. He gets off his Philistine hill. He comes down into the valley every day for 40 days. This big 9-foot giant comes down and he starts saying things. He starts saying things to the Israel army. Okay. And he says, hey, you send your best guy and I'll fight him. Just send one of your best guys and I'll fight him. If I win, you're my slaves. If you win, I'll be your slave. We'll all be your slaves. And you know why they did that? They don't want to kill all the soldiers. They want to make slaves. All right. So that's pretty good thinking. Just a side thought. Okay, so this is going on for 39 days, really 40 days, and all of Israel's listening to that, all of Israel and King Saul, they're all listening to that, and you know what they're doing? They're shaking in their boots up on the hill, okay? They're shaking in their boots, but on the 40th day, David's father, Jesse, says, hey, David, I want you to go to where the battle is. And I want you to bring food to your brothers. He had two brothers that were fighting in the army. And I want you to bring food to them. All righty. And I want you to see how the battle's going. So on the 40th day, by the way, you people that like numerology, just go look that up. It's pretty cool. So on the 40th day, David gets his cart full of food and he shows up and he sees and he hears Goliath for the first time. All righty. Turn over to 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. I'm going to read that to you. Praise the Lord. David, okay, so he shows up. Okay, this is what happens. Okay, I talk fast. 1 Samuel 17, 26. New Jersey. Can't help it. Praise the Lord. Yes, I can. I can do it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, before I read this to you, the crazy thing is David's response to what he sees and what he hears compared to everybody else. His response, 1 Samuel 17:26. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and remove the disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?" So interesting, listen to this. Why wasn't King Saul saying that? Who is this uncircumcised? Why isn't King Saul saying that? Why isn't it one, at least one of the Israel army guys saying that? Why not? Okay. All right. Now, think about what David just said. So in order to think about what David just said, you have to understand circumcision. Circumcision was given to the Jews as a command by God, and it meant something. It was a sign, but it meant something. It meant they were in covenant with God. He meant they were in covenant with God. I would like to be in covenant with God, wouldn't you, if you were back then? Sure would. So God gives the command to the men to be circumcised as a reminder. As a reminder that they're in covenant with God. And not only does he say, if you do this, I'm in covenant with you, he's saying something even bigger and better than that. He says, when you go into battle, I'll go before you. When you go to battle, I'll be with you. When you go and the odds are looking really bad, I will intervene on your behalf because you are in covenant with me, the God, the living God of Israel, the only true God. Praise the Lord. Now, all those guys knew that. They should have read their Bible. I'm pretty sure they did. They read their Bible. They should have known that. But listen, but they didn't believe that, did they? They didn't believe it. They're up there shaking in their boots, okay? So here's this 16-year-old teenager that comes, coming, I'm a coming, and hears this. He sees this big 9-foot giant. He hears what he's saying. And listen, Goliath is trash talking Israel. And it just, that was it. David, bing. So David says, hey, he's not in covenant with us. He's not in covenant with God. He understood the covenant. He's not in covenant. And then he says, and my God will help me. Let's do it. Let's go. Because David understood the covenant. He understood what God had spoken and he believed it. Amen. So King Saul hears that there's one guy that's ready to go fight. One 16-year-old kid that ready to go fight. Okay, so read 1 Samuel 17:32. And this is a conversation David said to Saul. Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go fight for him. Okay, so crack me up. David's never been to war. He's never been an army guy and a sword, right? Okay? And Saul is saying, listen, David, you're only 16. This guy, Goliath, he's been to war his whole life. That's all he knows. Not even counting, he's 9 foot. All right? That's all he knows. He's a warrior. And you don't know nothing. You don't know anything about going to war with a sword. Okay? You can't handle this guy. And David says, I love David. David says, dear King Saul, when I was watching my father's sheep, a lion attacked. And now listen, King Saul, I can't take down a lion, but I'm in covenant with God. And God went and gave me supernatural strength. And I killed that lion and tore it to pieces. Right about then, I think King Saul's got one eyebrow up. And then David says, and on top of that, one time a bear came after my father's sheep. And he says, but I'm in covenant with God. Praise the Lord. And with God's strength, I killed the bear. Have you ever been around somebody that's got confidence? Man, it just slimes on you. Isn't that wonderful? It's good. Amen. Okay, so listen to 1 Samuel 17:37 now. This is Samuel talking. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Glory, hallelujah. So basically he's saying, hey, listen, This is a 16-year-old kid, and he says, not a problem. I can take this giant. I have a covenant with God. God will help me. I'm going. Let's do it. Now, there's a New Testament scripture that says just about the same thing. You probably all know it. It's Philippians 3:13. Yep, 4:13. Sorry, Philippians 4:13. Yeah, you all know this. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. I can do all things because I have a covenant with God who supernaturally strengthens me. I can do it. Let's take it. Did you hear that scripture? That's your New Testament scripture for that old one, right? Now, what happens if that's your belief system? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What happens if you actually believe that? I think you're going to be saying things a lot different. And I think your landscape's going to be changing. And I think you're going to take down some mountains and take down some giants if you believe that scripture. I can do something. I can do all things better yet. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Praise God. Okay, new refrigerator scripture. Isn't that a good one? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Saul, right about then, says, okay, go fight him. Go ahead and you can go fight Goliath. Now, guys, think about this. Saul has given David permission to go fight Goliath. And really what's going on, Saul has put the whole future of Israel in the hands of a 16-year-old. Shoot, I didn't even like giving my 16-year-old the car keys. Yeah, okay. All right? So David goes down into the valley to meet Goliath. Goliath goes down into the valley to meet David. And Goliath takes a look at this 16-year-old kid. And this is what he says. 1 Samuel 41, here we go. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. 42. He looked over David and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. Verse 43. He said to David, "Who am I that you would come at me with a stick?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, just crack me up. Oh, okay, one more. 44. Da, 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 da. Flipping around. Come on, D. Yeah, 44. So here he says, come here, he says to David, and I'll give you your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. All righty. So what's going on here about this point? Gee whiz. David's walking down. Goliath sees him, and he's like just freaking mad that you'd send a kid, all righty? And have you ever met your opponent? Have you ever gotten that thing in the mail? Have you ever heard a report from a doctor and it's a little intimidating? Oh, yeah, had a couple of those. But you know what? David's going, I don't care. I have a covenant with God. Did you hear what he said? I have a covenant with God. Praise the Lord. And this is what God's saying. God's telling all of us that my word out of your mouth is so powerful over this giant. My word that you would speak my promises will take down your giant. If your heart's full, if you what you believe, you can say that and it'll take down your giant. All right. So David starts talking back at Goliath. Oh, these are my last two scriptures, I promise. Verse 45 and 46. David says to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty and the God of the armies of Israel who you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands and I will strike you down. I'll cut off your head." Talk about speaking faith, man. Praise God. "I'll cut off your head this very day and give your carcass to the Philistine armies and the birds and the wild animals, blah, blah, blah. And you'll know that there is no God except for the one of Israel." So, you know what happens? David takes his sling, puts one little rock in it, and he lets it go, bing, bullseye. And the Bible says that the giant came down. The Bible doesn't say that he killed it. Okay, there's a couple translations. But we do know he knocked him down. And what does David do? He's got him down. He's got him down, and he runs up to Goliath, the enemy, the giant that he knocked down. He grabs his sword, chops his head off, grabs his head, and he goes, "Rah! God did this." What do you think he went with these? Oh my gosh, he's doing the cha-cha dance. He's having a great old time. Okay? He's just, okay, praise God. Praise the Lord. You guys. Alrighty. Now, because of what David believed, he believed the covenant. At that point, the landscape of Israel changed, didn't it? The Philistines got scared and went hightailing out of there. The Israelites, all army, all of a sudden got faith, and they go charging after them and kill them. And all their problems disappeared, right? All because one person believed what God said. I rest my case. Bam. Praise the Lord. So here's my heart, that you all become giant killers. And the only way you're going to kill the giants is you're going to spend time with God. He'll plop it in your heart. You'll chew on it. And then you'll chew on it. And then what you do is you just speak it, and you watch the God who's in covenant with you do the landscape changing. Praise God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have a whole list of landscape on the side of my refrigerator. No, it's really my Bible of things. All right. And as I prepared for these messages this past summer, and then I was reviewing the book Life of Faith by Jerry Savelle, the Lord started showing me areas of my life that I knew, but I wasn't doing. Okay? Now, anybody have any exercise equipment in their basement? I know that thing. I know it. I know how to work it. All right? But I'd walk past it. All right? Then I'd go sit down and watch TV. Then I'd go upstairs and go to bed. And then I'd look at that. I know it. I know what it'll do. But it takes day three. But it takes you and me doing some stuff, guys. I'm using it. All right. Use your mouth. You can get one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, let me pray for y'all. Praise God. Praise God. Father God, I have done my very best. I've had so much fun to present your word, the truth, Father. And I believe the truth has opened eyes. I believe the truth is planted. And I declare this truth will produce good fruit, some 30, 60, and 100. Amen. In people's lives. I thank you, Father, that these are incredible people that are hungry to change the landscape of their life. I thank you, Father, that you give them understanding that their words shape and change their world. I thank you, Father, that we are conscious of what is coming out of our mouth, and we get it to line up, and then you work with your word, and giants come down and mountains change. In Jesus' name, praise God. So, your homework, listen to yourself through the week, all right? And just listen, let the Holy Spirit, not me, smack you for saying that. Though I have called you all on the carpet a couple of times, but let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He's the best speaker. You ask him into your life, he'll speak to you. And ask him how to find the words that need to come out of your mouth for your mountains. How you get your giants to come down. Is that hard to do? For homework? No. All righty, praise God.